Student loans are forgiven. What are you going to do with that extra cash? We're going to talk about it coming up on the show next.
From the streets of San Antonio straight to your wallet, it's Jake's 2 cents on Jake of All Trades.
All right, welcome back. My name is Kirk, and I'm not a financial expert.
And I'm Jake. I am the financial expert. But together, Kirk and I talk about financial planning, we talk about money, and we talk about the economy, all with the express purpose of helping our listeners build wealth, both today and into the future.
And we're going to be talking about a topic that I think will be a hot topic for quite a while for a lot of people. Yep. There's a lot going on in this topic, and it's one we've talked about on many occasions. But I think it's interesting. I think it's a conversation many of us should continue to have, especially if you're, you know, under 45, you had student loan debts, or like me, you just recently paid them off. And, you know, so we're going to be talking about student loans, forgiveness.
Yes.
You know, and what people are going to be spending that money on, right? So mm-hmm. Now we're going to have students with an extra $10,000, essentially.
In theory.
Yeah, something like that. And or at least forgiven out of their loans that they have. So now they have more than something they didn't expect. Mm-hmm. And what are they going to do with that money? Are they,
right. You know,
what's going to happen? So that's what we're going to talk about today.
I think the good way to think about this too is from a monthly cash flow perspective, right? Because most people have been paying on loans on a monthly basis, and the forgiveness is going to affect that monthly payment, right? So even if you still have $40,000 of student loans left, right? It's $10,000 less, which is going to be a slightly reduced monthly payment. And so that's going to free up a little bit of money, right? If it was a complete wipeout of your student loans, then now you don't have that monthly payment anymore. So let's think about this in the context of a monthly cost and a monthly freedom, like a capacity thing. So now we got a slightly bigger monthly budget. What do we do with that, right? And I think this becomes concerning because psychologically, at least in my mind, if I have a freed up a little bit monthly, okay, what can I replace monthly that I could have right now, right? Like a car or a new TV or something that's going to give me immediate gratification, but I can spread out the cost of over a long period of time because I'm already used to spending that on a debt.
Well, so one, you said something that I wonder if it's true. You said that most people make monthly payments on their student loans. And I know that's what you're supposed to do, but I wonder how many people are actually doing that. Like I didn't do that, right? For years.
Oh, you mean like they might be like they're just not paying at all.
Yeah, they're not paying anything, right? So I bet that's a bigger chunk than people who are at. So you're talking about the responsible person who's doing what they're supposed to by making monthly payments. And I wonder how many people that actually is. You said most. Like, I don't know, maybe.
The other side of the coin, though, is if you haven't been making monthly payments and they forgive it, the impact to you hasn't changed because you haven't been paying on them anyway, right? So there's not a freed
up. There's a less of amount to pay off.
Right, so but you're not paying on it anyway. So it's not going to change your lifestyle.
Would it impact your credit? Like to have $10,000 removed off of your...
I don't know.
Loan?
You know,
because like, your credit was tracked. So it's like, oh, you have a $40,000 loan that you're not paying, and all of a sudden it's like $10,000 less. Now they know it's the student loan, of course, but do they?
Right. I don't know that it would change it because that loan is still in what's the status called where you're not paying it and
default?
It's defaulted. Yeah. Default. So whether it's $30,000 or $40,000, it's on your credit as a default, right? Now, you didn't default on it. Well, you temporarily defaulted, but you paid it off.
No, I defaulted for years. Yeah, like they were multiple defaults because I didn't make monthly payments very often. I would make a payment here and there when they finally got through to me with all their hounding. And I had a couple dollars. I was like, all right, here's a couple $100.
Here.
And then I didn't see them again for years. I did that for like 10 years.
You bring up an interesting point because I didn't really think about that. That's the difference between you and me and our perspective on this because I've made my monthly payment on my student loans for the last
you're responsible.
12 years.
Yeah, you're responsible.
I need to do so. Yeah.
I didn't. Yeah. I think You know, so, and then, you know, my student loans were smaller. So if this would have happened to me, I would have only had to pay off like $10,000, $12,000.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's a big deal. That's a big difference. And I, you know, versus, cause I think I ended up paying like $24,000 total to pay it all off. That's from a $30,000 or like $29,000 with everything. And that was mostly interest for not paying anything. But then when I told, like, I made a deal with them and they told me that it was this number, like 23,800 or whatever, if I paid it all in one lump sum. Mm-hmm. And so that was a cool deal, but it would have, you know, they probably still would have done some kind of lump sum and it would have been less, you know, so maybe I would have only paid 12 or 13,000, which meant I would have had another 10,000 of my own money.
Right? Good point.
So like,
that it brings, that brings up an interesting concept for people who maybe haven't been paying.
Yeah.
Right.
And now they're within range.
Now you're in a range where you could negotiate a payoff.
Yeah. And it might be worthwhile to like try to borrow money from parents or somewhere and pay them back or whatever, just to pay off the whole thing. And now it's in reach in a way that it wasn't. So like there's options like that. So yes, I think your perspective is true. Of course, there are a lot of people who are probably paying the monthly. Maybe they stopped because there's not interest rates right now, which they shouldn't if you're paying it off. But if you're paying like, you know, $150 a month for a $30,000 loan, now, you know, it's only a $20,000 loan. Do you pay $100 a month or do you keep it at 150 and pay it off as quickly as faster now?
Right.
And Market Watch did a poll asking people what they would say. And actually the number one thing was not pay down other debt, or I assume that means pay down the rest of their student loans or any debt they might have. Right.
Yeah.
So that's probably, I mean, I don't know what they would be talking about with other debt for students.
Well, I guess if you have
any debt, like credit cards,
any debt, and now you have a little bit, like, let's say that you have like this looming credit card debt that you just can't make progress on, but you didn't want to stop on your student loans because it would mess up your credit. And now you have an extra 50 or 100 bucks. It might make sense in that context to actually divert that over to the higher interest debt and try to accelerate the pay down of that. But the poll suggested that that's not what people want to do.
That's not the number one. That's the number two. And it's pretty high. It's 35% of people said pay down other debt, which again, I still think is just pay down debt. Like any debt you have. Like you would just use that money to keep paying on that. But there's a number two thing, which was what? Well, actually, before we do number two, what's the number? So that was number two. Number three is save for a house.
Save for a house.
Yeah. So that was number three, save for a house, which is an interesting one. So,
And then the fourth one was spend on essentials.
Yeah. And how do you define essentials? Like, I need this.
My essentials list is pretty large.
Yeah, exactly. We need this pedicure.
Beer is included in that essentials list.
Did you say beer?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Is beer essential?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. I like it. Beer is essential.
Is essential. A big screen TV is essential.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what is essential? That's like the whole essential workers debate. Right? Like, what's an essential worker? It's like, well, you know, it's essential for me to go to the gym so I can live longer.
Exactly.
That's an essential worker.
Yeah.
So save for essentials, whatever that means, or spend on essentials, I should say. But then the number one thing, surprisingly, maybe, was what?
Invest.
Yeah. So people said,
and I wonder how much of that is like, economically driven. So like in the current environment, we've talked about the fire sale of stock prices because the stock market has done so terribly this year. So I wonder, part of that is that, you know, people are seeing an opportunity where their dollar goes a lot further in the stock market than it did last year or the year before. And so now it kind of makes more sense, like, oh, I could get maybe, right? I'm making a bet here because it's not guaranteed, but maybe I get more bang for my buck by investing than I do by paying down other debt. But it's very close. 39% of respondents said they would invest, and 36% said they would pay down other debt. So super close there.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Yeah, it doesn't really say what people are thinking in terms of why they chose invest. There's, and by the way, this is only, so it looks like there's 741 votes on this. This is not a sweeping study.
Correct.
Right. So let's, you know, these are just some assumptions. We're all making assumptions on what people will do, and everyone's going to make some different decisions. This is, and also it does seem like based on the question, there's a lot of things people don't understand about stimulus still, probably. Like there might be so many people who think that it's going to be like $10,000 in their pocket. Like it's going to be like a stimulus check.
Right.
And that I think some people probably think that it's like, oh, I'm going to get $10,000. I'm going to get, especially if you're 20 years old in college and you don't like, you don't know any better. Like that, I could see you thinking like you're going to get a $10,000 check and you're not right. It's going to go toward your student loans.
Right.
And so like, if you have less than $10,000 student loan, you're not going to get, you'll just have zero student loans now is all that would mean. Right. And you would get no money. You wouldn't get $2,000 back.
Right. Unless you just now freed up that debt that you had.
Yeah. But I think, again, this is a mentality you don't have, but like I have and other people have, is like, sometimes we don't even think of that as like real at all. Most of us.
The debt.
Yeah. Like it's not even, it's not real. It's just something that we signed a piece of paper and we go to college and, you know, we're 19, 20 and we don't think about what it just doesn't mean anything to us.
Yeah.
And I don't know how else to convey it other than it's not real. It just isn't real to anybody. Like until it becomes real.
Right.
Until like later in life when it becomes real, but because we can push it down the line for so long, I really think for so many people it's not real. And the reason I'm, you know, saying all this is I think based on this, you know, the types of things people will do, quote unquote, what they will do with it, is making a lot of assumptions about what people even understand about what it is and, you know, what they're doing now. Right. I don't know how much information we have on that. Like, I'm sure we have information on who's not paying student loan debt, but I have
a
feeling
we can probably find that out. I think we could, like what percentage of the $3 trillion in student debt or however much we have is in default. Like they have that data.
Yeah. It's in default or like people are just making payments just sufficient enough to not be in default. Mm-hmm. Right. They're not making regular monthly payments. I bet that's a pretty low number. I have a feeling that's a pretty low number because if it was a high number, I don't think we would do this. There wouldn't like
do the forgiveness.
I don't know if there'd be a political push to do it. I think it's part of it's because there's such a huge swath of people not paying anything that are in default and they're like in trouble. And this is the government trying to help them. I could be wrong about that. That's an assumption. I don't know. Maybe that is an assumption,
but maybe you are correct. I hadn't really thought of it that way.
Yeah.
I just thought, hey, they're taking responsibility for the injustice that they did to this generation of children by giving them all this debt, right? But you could be right.
That's the positive spin, sure. And that maybe is part of it.
It might be that we have all this debt that's not being paid because all these kids said middle finger to you, I'm not paying it. And so we got to do something to reduce the balance sheet, right?
That's how I take it more as something like more than likely. But I don't, again, this is an assumption. We'll have to do some research on it. You know, and maybe it's a mixture of both. You know, that's what they say. In the, there's a lot of narratives about what's going on. We do know that there's this $3 trillion in debt right now on some level. But I'm not as favorable to like the beneficence of the government that they're doing this just out of the kindness of their hearts, like because they care about us so much or whatever.
No surprise, Kirk. Yeah. No surprise. So let's answer the question, what would you do? So potentially, right, you have an option. We're going to explore this of getting a refund because you did pay off your student loans. But part of this forgiveness program is that there's been some talks. We've read some stuff online that you might be able to get a refund.
So I would get cash in that case. So
you would, in that essence, get cash back. So what would you do with it? What would you do?
I would definitely. I would talk to you actually, and talk about maybe do like an hour or two consulting to figure out like depending on how much it was. If it was 10, 20, because I saw like up to $20,000. Like, so if it's.
Yeah, depending on what type of loans you have.
Yeah, what type of loans. So if I'm somewhere in the 10 to 20 range, you know, like some portion would go into investments, some portion would go into, you know, some other fund to go do a trip that I want to do or something like that. Like, mm-hmm. how much can I save for those two things? Or, I mean, that's something that I would do. I would probably invest at least half,
yeah.
if not more. You know, 50 to 70% I'd put in there, and then, yeah, something like, I mean, something simple. And then I'd probably want to go on, you know, just use it to go on a trip. And I think a lot of people would go on some kind of trip, right? I feel like that would be pretty high percentage.
I think so too.
Now, the only other option I might think about is if the housing, if I get it and the housing market dips in mm-hmm. Austin, I might actually take all of it for a down payment.
Sure.
Like I would just, or like, you know, like 80% of it for a down payment or whatever.
Yeah.
So that might be another, and then say, forget the trip for now and get a house.
Right. Because in theory, you're still investing, right?
Exactly.
You're just investing in a different sector of the economy.
But I'm not going to do that while the Austin market is so high mm-hmm. still. It's still high. Mm-hmm. So if I see like a crash, then it's like, yeah, baby, give me that money, down payment, get these Californians out of here, even though I'm one of them. and they're all, maybe they'll leave now because of all the crazy laws in Texas. Right. But yeah. So, I mean,
yeah. Okay. Okay, so, cool.
I don't know. That's probably something I would do. What would you do? Because you have still student loans.
I do still have student loans. So I think I would actually, because of my stage in life right now, I'm buying a new house. I would spend it on essentials.
Right? Oh, okay. Yeah. So like furniture.
New house.
Mm-hmm. Like furniture is what you consider itself.
Furniture, like probably. Yeah. TV. Furniture. Maybe some
floaties for the pool.
The house. Maybe some floaties for the pool.
Are you guys getting a fence to put around the pool?
No.
For the dogs? Okay. That freaks me out.
No, the dogs are going to swim.
Okay. What? So you teach them how to swim?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. They already know?
I don't know. We're going to find out.
Yeah. So you got to teach them how to swim. Well, because the thing that worries me is like dogs drown in pools sometimes.
Right.
If you like leave them up back in the backyard and you're not there and they fall in, they can't get out. But I bet there's ways to like, you could put like a ramp or something so it's easy. So you could teach them how to get out if they ever fall in or something.
Yeah.
That could be nothing. But anyway, so that could be an essential. And that would be essential if you wanted to protect your dogs, right?
True.
Yeah, that's a legit.
I hadn't really essential. Thought about that.
Yeah, like a barbecue is definitely essential. So you could have barbecues, like a nice,
exactly.
big barbecue.
Big barbecue.
And I'll come over with some steak and my coffee rub. I have a new recipe for a coffee rub. It's good.
Yeah. See, so that illustrates the difference based on lifestyle and what where you are in your stage of life, how you would do different things. So it's all very subjective, which is also why financial planning is so important.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's definitely going to depend. And like I said, it's an interesting vote they did, poll. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how indicative it is of things, because again, like, it's not clear to me what people mean by any of these categories even.
Right.
So all these categories are so, this is why I don't like polls in general, really. Although I find it interesting how people would answer, but I wouldn't take it as a real mark of what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because again, I don't think a lot of people really know that they're not getting checks. Like I would have thought, like, when I was in college and still accruing debt or something, let's say I was at 10,000, I was like year three or whatever of college at this point. Like, I can imagine being that, at that age, knowing what I knew, I would have thought, oh, they're going to give me $10,000 so that I can pay it off, but maybe I could take some of it and do what I want with it.
And do what I want.
What I want. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Like, right. I might think like, oh yeah, so I could finally buy that new laptop I was wanting, or I could go on a,
and then I'll put the rest of it.
Then I'll put the rest of the, you know, I'll put 80% and I'll just take 2000 out for a laptop or whatever. No.
Yeah.
It's not. So I feel like this confusion is going to lead to different thinking of what you're going to do with that. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Although I will say that I bet the 740 people who voted
responded to the poll.
Yeah. If they're watching Market Watch, which is what did the poll, if they're the type of person who follows them on Twitter, they might actually be more of the more responsible ones who are making them. So those 740 might be the Jakes rather than the 24-year-old Kirks or the 35-year-old Kirks.
Right. So. Who knows? We'll find out.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, we'll see what people are going to do with it. It will alleviate some things. Of course, I still think it's going to increase inflation a little bit for a little longer, but whatever. Mm-hmm. What do I know?
Possibly.
So I think it's going to affect people overall a little bit differently. And the money's coming from somewhere.
Exactly.
Someone's got to pay that money somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. It's true.
Because that's, but how much is that total? I wonder. Someone's got to have done some kind of like
math projection.
$100 billion, $500 billion, something like that.
Maybe. Maybe.
Yeah. Because most people, like the average debt is what, 30,000, 35?
I think so. Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about one third. So maybe it's like $1 trillion. God. Oh, man. All right. I want to go to bed. Damn you, government. Getting us into such trouble with these trillions.
We'll see. We'll see. But that's our speculation about how it's going
to. Yeah. What do you guys think?
Lifestyle. We would love to know what you guys think. What you'll do, right? If you understand the concept and it's going to affect you, what you going to do with that extra cash? Because you're going to get some. You know, as it trickles down through to your budget. If you're paying, if you're making your payments on time, then it will.
That's right. And then get a CFP and maybe make payments on time from now on. Yeah. Do that and you won't get into such trouble.
Yep. All right, guys. Well, that wraps up this episode of Jake of All Trades. Be sure to check us out on social media by searching for @Jake's Two Cents and check out the blog at jakes2cents.com. Take care. We'll see you next time.
Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network, member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor. Fixed insurance products and services offered through CES Insurance Agency. Actual performance and results will vary. These interviews do not constitute a recommendation as to the suitability of any investment for any person or persons having circumstances similar to those portrayed. Consult a financial advisor regarding your specific circumstances.